My sermon's going to start out a little different this time. I'm going to start it out with a video, and I'll tell you how this video came to me. I have a little patient named Mary. About 3 years ago, she said, "Can I have your email address? I'd like to send you something." She knew I was a Christian. I thought, oh, brother, what harm, I guess, could my email address do this for you, old lady? Well, about 2.5 years later, after receiving gobs of emails that were just uplifting and rewarding and encouraging to me, I thought, I need to thank her. So she came in the office one time and says, "Mary," looked her right in the eye, "I want to thank you for all the emails you've sent me and the videos and the scripture and everything. You'll never know how encouraging it was to me at certain times in my life. And I want to thank you for that." Well, you know what happened? My emails tripled. This video you're seeing is one of the emails she sent me.
Are you living a life of loneliness? A life of fear? A life of defeat? Want to live a life of victory?
I wasn't ready.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Nice to see you. My name is Nick Vujicic, and it's a pleasure to be with you. Found I have no arms and no legs, and I was actually born this way. And it's so funny when people see me for the first time. It's so cool. Your kids freak out. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, this little boy came up to me and he goes, "What happened?" And I went up to him and I go, "Cigarettes." And so I have no limbs, but I have my little chicken drumstick. And you like that?
Yeah.
Well then. And get some techno going, like, here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. There you go, you like that?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But honestly, along the way, you might fall down like this. Ready? Right? Hello! Right. So what do you do when you fall down? Get back up. Everybody knows to get back up, because if I start walking, I'm not going to get anywhere. But I tell you, there are some times in life where you fall down and you feel like you don't have the strength to get back up. And fear comes in. You know the fear that you have as soon as you walk into the doors of your house. Maybe there's a broken home. Maybe you have doubt in your life. Maybe you don't know for sure what's going to be happening in the future, and it scares you. Maybe you're worried about what people think of you, what people say about you. Just that fear paralyzes you. And I just want to ask you today, do you think you have hope? Because I tell you, I'm down here, face down, and I have no arms, no legs. It should be impossible for me to get back up, but it's not. You see, I will try 100 times to get up, and if I fail 100 times, if I fail and I give up, do you think that I'm ever going to get up? No. But if I fail, I try again and again and again. For as long as I try, there's always that chance of getting up. Does that make sense? And it's not the end until you've given up. And just the fact that you're here should persuade you that you have another chance to get back up. There's still hope. I'm not here today to tell you that I understand your pain. I don't know how it feels to be abused. I don't know how it feels to feel, quote, fat and you've got an eating disorder. I don't know how it feels to have a broken home. I don't know how it feels. I don't know how it feels to have a broken heart, and I know how it feels to be alone. you to know that I found my strength in Jesus Christ, and you're going to find your strength in whatever you find it in. But I just want you to know that it's not the end. It matters how you're going to finish. Are you going to finish strong? And you will find that strength to get back up like this. Stand up. The victory is when I know that I can't do this on my own.
If God could cause a man without arms and legs to smile, then God can definitely cause us to be thankful and to hang on to the hope that we have.
If I am here to tell just one more soul about Jesus, that they may spend eternity with God, no matter what God puts me through here on this earth, I know that I still can be used. I said, God, if you made me without arms and legs just for one more soul, then it's all worth it. If you're praying for a miracle, if God doesn't give you the miracle, you will be the miracle for somebody else.
Isn't that an encouraging video? Nick has addressed more than 3 million people around the world, telling them of the love of Jesus, bringing them hope in the risen Savior. Although he is different from most people because he has no limbs, he believes in a healthy mind and spirit, from having a faith in Jesus is more important than anything else. His life and speeches has touched countless lives, including me, allowing the audience to know that God has created everyone with a beautiful purpose. Despite the many limitations in life, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, wait a minute. Don't you know the bulletin says the sermon is about Samson? What in the world does this Nick guy have to do with the story of Samson? Thank you. I'm glad you asked. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, do we get our scriptures from just one verse? No. Let's move on to Isaiah 49, verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. Let's move on to Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16, and see what King David had to say. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes were on my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Lesson number one. God knows us before we are even born. He has plans for us, if we only let him control our lives. Okay, I don't know how many of you know where the story of Samson is, but it's in Judges, chapters 13 through 16. And we're only going to make it through chapter 13, and that's why this is Samson part 1. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. And again, I'm reading from the NIV, New International Version. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. What does it say in verse 1? Again, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. What does it mean to do evil in the sight of the Lord? Simply, if you do not walk in the path that the Lord has for you, and you do not follow his command, then you are doing evil. You are walking in the path of the evil one. How many times did it take for the Israelites to figure it out? You do what God asks you to do, and you are a blessed nation. You do not do what God wants you to do, and you're a cursed nation. We are the same today. We don't walk in the path of Jesus. We don't obey his commandments, and we bring sorrow, enslavement, and sin upon ourselves. Walk in the way of the Lord, and you are blessed now and for eternity. Let's move back to the story of Samson, verse 2. If your Bible's like mine, there's probably not much marked in the story of Samson, so feel free to mark these lessons in there. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Here it is again. God knew Samson before he was even conceived. Lesson number one. God knows us before we are even born. He has the plans for us if we only let him control our lives. Before he was born, God had anointed Samson to serve him. God had great plans for this unconceived child. This unborn child was to be named Samson. He knew even though Manoah's wife was now barren and childless, she would conceive and have a son. You think you have a 50-50 chance of being a male or female? No, God knows your sex ahead of time. Let's turn back to Judges, verses 6 through 7. Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink. Do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.'" Lesson number two, right there. God's prenatal instructions are supreme. Wow, I think this is the first time we hear of prenatal care in the Bible. Did the prenatal instructions come from the doctor, the midwife, or were they from God? What kind of prenatal instructions did God give? The CHIP program, health and diet care. It was pretty clear, wasn't it? I would like to think that Manoah's wife, being barren, was so excited that she started the program way before Samson was conceived, when the egg and sperm were being made. I think this was a husband and wife project. I think Manoah conformed to the prenatal instructions too. I can't see Manoah saying, "Hey, this is your baby. I'm not doing that. Too restrictive for me." Do you know the importance of these instructions that God gave them? The instructions were repeated three times in this chapter 13. Once to Manoah's wife from the angel, once from Manoah's wife to her husband, and once again from the angel to both Manoah and his wife. Was this the prenatal CHIP program? Do you know that what you drink, eat, smoke or ingest before you conceive a child, before your eggs or sperm are formed, will affect the outcome of your child? Patriarchs and Prophets 560, page 560 says, "In view of this, the angel gave her instruction concerning her own habits and also for the treatment of her child. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. And the same prohibition was to be imposed from the first on the child. That means that they had to teach Samson by instruction and by example how to eat and drink and not ever to stray from these instructions. Today it'd mean no Pepsi, no coffee, no candy, no unclean meat, no beer, no wine, no donuts. Let's move on to verse 8 through 14. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up this boy who is to be born. God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day. Manoah got up and followed his wife. When they came to the man, he said, Are you the one who talked to my wife? I am, he said. So Manoah asked him, When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work? The angel of the Lord answered, Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I've commanded her. Did you hear what Manoah prayed to God? He begged God to send the man of God back to teach them, both he and his wife, how to bring up the boy. Do we ask God to teach us how we can work together on bringing up our children? That is lesson number 3. Pray to God. Beg him to teach you the way he wants you to bring up your children. No better prayer can be said by parents. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 560 says, Then fearful that they should make some mistake in the important work committed to them, the husband prayed, Let the man of God, which though he did send, come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. When the angel again appeared, Manoah's anxious inquiry was, How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? The habits of the mother and child were to be carefully regulated. The child will be affected for good or evil by the habits of the mother. She must herself be controlled by the principle and must practice temperance and self-denial. Let's move on to verses 15 and 16. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord replied, Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Lesson number 4. Be thankful to God for all God has given you. They wanted to give the angel a gift. Do you know what the national average of people is who remember to give thanks for gifts or services? 1 out of 10. That is exact the same number and ratio that remembered to thank Jesus for healing them from leprosy. Pretty shameful, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's move on to verses 17 and 18. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, What is your name? So we may honor you when your word comes true. He replied, Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. Manoah wanted to thank and honor the messenger when the baby was born. He wanted again to give thanks to the angel But what is the angel saying in Judges 13, verse 18? You should give thanks to God, for it is God who sent the angel. Verses 19 and 20. Then Manoah took a young goat, together with a grain offering, and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces to the ground. What amazing thing did the angel do? As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flames. What should we do when we realize we're in God's presence? We should show extreme reverence. It was their custom to bow before the Lord. We should show extreme reverence. Verses 21 to 23. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "If the Lord has meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this." Lesson number 5. Trust in God always, for he will give you wisdom and understanding. Did you see Manoah? Immediately after receiving all these instructions and promises, jumped to his own conclusion that they would die and God wouldn't be fulfilling his promises. But Manoah's wife had not only common sense, but also faith in God. She pointed out because she trusted in the Lord, they would not die and that God would fulfill his promises. Verses 24 and 25. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahana, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Let's review the lessons we learned today. Lesson number 1. God knows us before we are even born. He has plans for us if we only let him control our lives. Lesson number 2, God's prenatal instructions are supreme. Lesson number 3, pray to God, beg him to teach you the way he wants you to bring up your children. Not the way you want to bring up your children, but the way he wants you to bring up your children. Lesson number 4, be thankful for all God has given you. Lesson number 5, trust in God always, for he will give you wisdom and understanding. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, we come to you with the story of Samson, the first part of his birth and prediction of birth, with lessons from the Bible. Help us to take these lessons to heart and to use them in our lives, to give thanks to you always, and be able to teach them to our children and our children's children so that they can benefit from these lessons the story of Samson gives us. In thy holy name, amen.